perfect, yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed head, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest.
Amen. All right, you may be seated. We'll have the preaching of the message now. Thank you.
All right. It is wonderful to see you this morning.
Thank you for being here. It's good to be back. We had a restful time while we were away, and I'm glad no one got washed away here, and we didn't get washed away. Just want to mention, there's two size nines, as in two pairs of these at the back. We were given them from folks from another church that if anyone can use these, there will be two pair in the back. So help yourself, and that would be great. Turn your Bible, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews, chapter 4. How many were born 2000 and beyond? How many in our congregation this morning were born 2000 and beyond? Would you raise your hand? Okay, thank you. All right, thank you. You may put your hands down. One of the facts that I'm going to share with you today is about Morse code. And Morse code, it came into being about 1905. And it went out of use, just was not profitable to use anymore in 1999. And as I thought about saying that, that's the end of the last century. For us that were alive in the end of the last century, that we were alive in the end of the last century. I just feel like we're getting old maybe a little bit. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to read in Hebrews chapter 4, and then we're going to look in also in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, if you will, hold your place there, because we will be back a little later on. But Hebrews chapter 13, last chapter of the book. Just two verses, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. The word conversation means your life, your lifestyle, who you are, both inside and out. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Can anyone tell me what that stands for? That is just a little bit of a trick question, okay? That is the Morse code for a distress signal. It was started by the Germans in 1905, and it was between ships. And what would happen is if they were in distress of any kind, they could do the three dots. They could Morse code the three dots, and then the three dashes, and then the three dots. And they would understand that that ship was in danger, that it was either sinking, that they needed help. SOS doesn't stand for anything. Sometimes we think it means save our souls or save our ship, but the Germans used that particular signal to describe the cry out for help. And it is read, it's interesting. This, you'll probably never use these two words again, but I'll give them to you. It's a palindrome, which means it can be read, you know, if you're in a plane and you're looking down and you see it, no matter which direction you come, you see this internet, you can understand that says SOS, I'm in need of help. It's also an ambigram, which means that if no matter which direction you come, up or down at it, it's also easily read. It can't be misunderstood. The cry is for help. And so this is an understanding that, you know, it's a cry for help. And on our phones today, I put my phone in the back, but on our phones today, did you know that our phones, they come with an SOS capability that even if they're out of signal or out of Wi-Fi, that you can press and you can get help with most modern-day phones these days. Help! Do you ever cry that? As I think of Samuel's mom, who, as she was praying before the priest, she was praying, not a word was coming out, but her lips were moving. Lord, I need your help. She wanted a baby. She had an enemy that was making fun of her and just laughing at her constantly. She needed help. This morning, I want to talk to you about when in need of help. When in need of help. And, you know, I thought about 40 years ago when I was in school. I used to, at least for my year 12, I'm not sure how I pulled that off, but I was able to come home, how I had time to do this. But I came home the first 3 days the first 3 days after school, and I just had a sleep. It was so draining. It was so different. And it was just seeing my friends again. It was just getting back into the routine. It was just the normal stuff. But I remember just falling on my bed, and it helped me get back in routine. So as the students begin this new school year, and as moms as homeschooling and dads as homeschooling parents, and then our teachers in the public and state and other schools, private schools, as they begin teaching, they're going to need help. Now, some of my most favorite verses, I was visiting with Brother Bobby and Sister Pone on Sunday, was it Thursday or Friday? And one of the verses that I had been studying this week and was Psalm 121, 1 and 2. And when Brother Bobby prayed, he led with Psalm 121, 1 and 2, which goes, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." So the writer is looking for an answer. He's looking for help. He doesn't see any help on the horizon. There's no help seemingly possible. The help that he's looking for must just be out of sight. And then he says this. He answers himself and he says, "My help cometh from the Lord. My help is in the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And we'll be looking at this verse more particularly in the afternoon service. But it's wonderful that this verse tells us that He is a refuge. He is something that when we're in trouble, that when we're facing problems, we can go to Him. The word "very present" gives the idea that He wants to help. He comes to us when we need help. And that He has the ability to meet whatever need that we have. So God, when we're having trouble, when we're having problems, He doesn't run from us. He's there with us. And then our verses that we read just then, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Does that help you when you're going through difficulties, when you're going through problems, to know that the Lord is with you? "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." We'll look at it in particularly a little bit later, but the word "helper" there means someone that runs to help. Someone that just doesn't say, "Oh, okay, you're having problems. Good for you. Praying for you. Hope things go well." It's someone that runs to help. One that runs to come to be there and assist. So four things I want us to look at this morning. First of all, When in need of help, we need to recognize that everyone has seasons when they need more help. Everyone has seasons when they need more help. Now, why do I say that they need more help? Well, John 15, we've looked at this verse recently. The Lord Jesus says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." So really, everything that we are, even in our basic daily lives, the Lord is the one that gives us the strength. He's the one that helps us. He's the one that guides. He's there. But there's those times where the Lord comes to our rescue, that He's even more present, as much as it seems impossible, He's even more present And some of those times when we ask the Lord to help, it's like we don't feel it, we don't see it, we don't even sense it in the circumstances. But He's there. He says, I will never leave thee. He comes. He's there. He comes to our rescue. He comes to our aid. And whether that aid means what we think it means or is expressed how we want it to be expressed, well, maybe not always. But He's there. Everyone has seasons when they need more help. I thought, you know, the students, man, the teachers as well. Abraham needed help when going to a place he had never been before. Abraham talked to Sarah and said, sweetheart, I know you're pretty old, but you still are a very pretty lady. Will you lie for me? Will you tell everybody that you're just my sister? Abraham needed he felt like he needed Sarah to lie for him. You guys are moving up grades. You're going to a different place than you've ever been. You're facing challenges this year that you've never faced. For the rest of us, every day, there's those challenges, those things that come, things that we're having to face today that we've never had to face before. Saul needed help when given responsibilities he had never had before. Saul had been appointed king. You'll remember that Saul was head and shoulders. It tells us so in 1 Samuel chapter 10 that he was head and shoulders above everyone else and that he had been appointed as the next king of Israel, and he doesn't seem that impressed. He doesn't say, yeah, I'm the next king. You know what he does? We're going to look at it in a little bit. He goes and hides. This guy's been made king of Israel, and he knows what the Israelites are like. This is a big job. Sometimes we're given responsibilities. Things are thrust upon us that we've never done before. We need help. Children of Israel needed help because of their work situation. Remember in Exodus chapter 1, Joseph died and people forgot about him. The children of Israel kept multiplying. Pharaoh decided, you know what, we need to put these guys to work. They're going to turn against us. If someone attacks us, they're going to turn against us. We need to give them something to do. So let's start working them. So they were having problems with the work. Later on, the children of Israel needed help because of conflicts that they were having with their neighbors. And that was the Egyptians, but they were still having conflicts. They were scared. They were worried. And as we think about the school year and our lives just in general, how many of us have conflicts at work? I realize some don't. How many of us have conflicts at work that we have to navigate through? Or that just weary us? How many of us have things with our people that we're around more, whether it's our family, whether it's the people that live around us, that we have to work out problems and difficulties, and it just seems like one thing after another, after another, after another, and it doesn't seem like there's any way out. David needed help because people were saying untrue and unkind things about him. The first three verses talk about the fact that David said, man, I wish these guys would stop lying about me. I wish these guys would stop saying untrue things and hurtful things. I wish they'd stop. Lord, please stop them. If you ever had anyone say something that's untrue about you and just kept spreading it and spreading it and spreading it, you can understand the problems that David was facing. By the way, students, can I ask you, when your friends start talking about other people at school, that you just say, oh, I don't know anything about that, that you just avoid those conversations, you don't need to be part of them. Men in the cities of Macedonia and Achaia needed spiritual help. In Acts chapter 16, men from Macedonia appeared and said, come help us! And they did. They got saved. These men got saved. These men understood that they needed spiritual help. In Acts 18, there were believers that needed help. And Paul and the other disciples, they were more than willing to help. We're people who need spiritual help as well. And by the way, just can I ask you, do you know Christ is your Savior? That's something the Lord spoke to my heart about on holidays. That, you know, do you know Christ as Savior? Do you have a personal relationship with Him? Once we have that personal relationship with Him, let's grow. Let's become more and more like Him. So all these people they were in need of help. Job 14:1 says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. There's just lots of stuff happening. Lots of difficulties. Sometimes it's just one after another. Sometimes it's not, but sometimes it's just one after another. Second thing I want you to notice is do not. When in need of help, do not let the stress and difficulty of the circumstances force you to do the wrong thing. He made me do it. You ever done that one? She made me do it. My brother, my sister, they hit me. They made me hit them back. Well, probably not. Do not let the stress and difficulty of the circumstances force you to do the wrong thing. In fact, it's easy to. It's easy to when you're busy, when you're feeling stressed, when it's difficult times. For example, Abraham going into a different land. He knew that Sarah was a beautiful lady. And he knows how men are. He knows how kings are. And he says to Sarah, Sarah, please lie. I'll lie, you lie, we'll all lie. And he didn't just do this on one occasion, he did it on several occasions. And instead of just saying, you know what, and the Lord said, you know what, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to look after you. You're going to be safe. So Abraham felt like he was forced to lie. Saul, when he was chosen as king, what did he do? When he was chosen as king, guess what he did? He hid. It says that he hid among the stuff. He hid among the supplies. It's like, you know what? I don't want to do this. Why me? You ever have circumstances, you ever given things that you're responsible for, and I guess you could call it procrastinate, but you just don't feel up to it? And instead of doing it and facing it and trying to figure it out, you just avoid it. Now, sometimes that can be a conversation with someone that needs to happen. Sometimes it's something that we need to do that's just right, that we just need to do. But Saul, he says, you know what? I just not really into this king thing yet. I just don't want to. When we're given responsibilities, let's don't hide from them. Let's don't hide from them. Let's do them by God's grace. Children of Israel, when they were having conflict, what did they do? They saw the Egyptians coming. And it says there that they were afraid. They were surrounded, the Red Sea on one side, the Egyptians coming at them, and they had no place to go seemingly, and their emotions ran wild. Moses, wish you'd let us just die in Egypt. It would have been easier. Sometimes when we're in stressful and difficult situations, we can let our emotions control us. And then the other one, the children of Israel needed help because of the conflict that they were having. They chose to solve their problems in the wrong way. At another time, they went to the Egyptians. This is later on in history. They went to the Egyptians and said, "Would you help us? Would you help protect us from our enemies?" Twice, Isaiah 30 and Ezekiel 17, both of those said, "You shouldn't have trusted the Egyptians." And sometimes we'll take shortcuts. Beware of shortcuts. Beware of shortcuts. Now, if it's okay for you to use AI, for example, I'm not sure how much AI you can use in school, but if you're not supposed to use AI, if you're not supposed to use AI to write your papers, don't use it. Work out a different way to write your papers. Because they can write some humdingers. But you, if you're not supposed to use it, do something different. Don't take shortcuts. Just in life, in work, at school, at home, unless it's an okay shortcut, let's don't take shortcuts. Now, I did learn today, I enjoy math. I enjoy the times tables. And there is a really cool way, there are shortcuts with the timetables. And other people have known these shortcuts for years and years, and I didn't. And it's really cool to see that you can, I mean, this is like multiplying three-digit numbers. You can do it relatively easily. Those kind of shortcuts, it's just helping. But if they're wrong, I'm just saying, don't. And then confronted of the wrong, some of the religious leaders became violent. May I ask you, you guys in school, I know I've asked this in my RI classes before, and I'll say, how many of you guys have done the wrong thing this year and you've gotten in trouble. Now, this is primary school. And most of the students, in all honesty, they'll raise their hand and they'll, you know, sheepishly, looking around at everyone else, they'll sheepishly say, I've gotten in trouble this year. And you know what? I asked them. These religious leaders, when Peter confronted them about their sinfulness, about crucifying the Lord. Now, Stephen had done the same thing, and lots of people had gotten saved just a chapter or two earlier. I'm sorry, not Stephen. Peter had done the same thing, and people were gloriously saved. Stephen, this time, is doing it. And he's confronting the people, and he said, you guys, you crucified Jesus, and you shouldn't have. What are you going to do? They got mad. They got angry, and they ended up killing Stephen for their wrong. So where am I going with this? My point is this. Don't let the stress and problems of the situation force you to do the wrong thing. And when we're confronted about doing something wrong, we can be all defensive. Well, if you'd have been in those circumstances, you would have done it too. But these people over here were doing it too. May I ask that if you get called out at work, at school, at home, can I just say, you know what? You're right. I was wrong. Just be able to say that, because you know what? It's refreshing. It's actually going, whew, to know that I don't have to be perfect. Now, I should want to be like Christ, but we say things, we do things, we don't have our thinking straight sometimes. And sometimes we just are pig-headed and we want our way. In those circumstances, don't say, you know what, I wasn't at fault. If we are at fault, just say, you know what, I was at fault. I'm sorry. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. So when we're stressed and facing difficulty, don't feel like you've got to be perfect. Third thing is ask for help. Ask for help. And when we talk about asking for help, I say that, and I want you to, keeping two things in mind. First of all, when you're in need of help, ask for help with these two things in mind. First of all, make sure you're really in need of help. Galatians chapter 6 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's verse 2. Verse 5 says, for every man shall bear his own burden. So there's a difference in those words, the burdens, the one burden in verse 5. It's basically how many of you guys have backpacks that you carry to school? Is that still a thing or is that not a thing anymore? Well, you carry your backpack. That's not too much for you to ask. But the first and bear ye one another's burdens when you're carrying a big load, then ask for help. When you're carrying lots and lots and lots and lots, ask for help. And so the first thing in mind is, you know, make sure you need help. And then secondly, know that you don't ask for help if you should be doing it by yourself. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Those verses, they were surrounded by the Red Sea. The Egyptian military were coming. Pharaoh were coming. And they were crying, Lord, what are we going to do? And the Lord said, go forward, go through the water. sometimes we know what to do and we're not willing to act on it. We'd rather be victims. Paul, though, asked for help. He said, "Brethren, pray for us." And then he said, and then he thanked them. He said, "You also helping together by prayer." And by the way, he said that several times, "Brethren, pray for us," in several different books. But he also, you said, "Brethren, by helping, you help us by your prayers for us." So, and the things that you do. Be willing to help, ask others for help, and then notice, be willing to ask the Lord for help. Be willing to ask the Lord for help. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." First thing I want us to look at this morning is it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto His throne." How boldly do you feel you should come before the Lord this morning? How boldly should you go into His presence? "Lord, it's me. I'm here. I'm here to talk." Ron Dunn, a Christian businessman, he had had a really rough day. And just, he didn't do his devotions that morning, and he had conflict with several different people, and it just seems like, you know, things after things after thing after thing started happening badly. And this is what he said, and this is regarding prayer. He said, "Lord," he says, "I've made a mess of my life today, and I confess I'm not worthy to come into your presence." Are we ever like that? At that point, he felt the Lord interrupt his prayer. "Ron, do you think having a quiet time this morning would have made you worthy to talk to me? Do you think doing good and treating people right would have somehow made you qualified to come into my presence? If that's what you think, you don't know yourself, you don't know me, and you don't understand the grace of God." When we go into His presence, it's not because we're touting, "Lord, it's me. I know you're going to answer my prayer request this morning. You love me. I always obey you." You know what we go into His presence claiming? We go into His presence claiming His grace. We go into His presence claiming His mercy. It's not our greatness. And yes, when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. I understand that. But if ever we go into God's presence like, "You're lucky for me to be talking to you today, Lord." He says, "Let us therefore come boldly." You know what? When we're having the Lord's day, pray. When you said something you shouldn't have said, pray. When you've done something you shouldn't have done, pray. When you haven't done, when you haven't said, pray. When life just seems to go worse and worse, pray. "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace." A couple of things in this verse we'll look at quickly. What does throne bring to mind when you talk about throne? Now, I know there's some inappropriate things with the word throne, but generally we think about kings and about reigning and about judging. The word throne is used in the book of Revelation more times than anywhere else. And it's talking about His reign and His throne, the throne of His glory. It speaks of His power. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." When we go to the Lord in prayer, we are seeking His power. We are seeking His help. In fact, in our verses that we read earlier today, it said, "He that made heaven and earth." What kind of power is that? And then His grace, the throne of grace. Grace is God's enabling power to do whatever needs to be done. That's what God's grace is. God enables us to do whatever we need to do. If we need to be saved from our sins, it's by grace you're saved through faith. If we need grace to help with the problem that we're facing, it's His grace that is sufficient. If it's grace that we need to do school, to teach school, to work, to make it through whatever trial or problem, it's His grace. In fact, He's the God of all grace. That means that whatever kind of grace it is that we each need, and it's beautiful. He knows the kind of grace that each one of us needs, and He's got, "Oh yeah, I just happened to have that. I just happened to have that." But there may be that suffering. There may be that suffering while He perfects, while He establishes, while He strengthens and settles us. When Paul asked the Lord three times, "Lord, I've got this problem that's really bothering me. I think I could do more for You if You just get rid of this problem." The Lord said, "My grace is sufficient. For my strength," Paul said, "is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me." He helps us in our prayers. Romans 8:26, that the Lord knows the way we pray, that we don't sometimes get it right. His Spirit helps us. So in conclusion this morning, when you are in need of help, first, do you recognize that everyone has seasons when they need more help? It's called being vulnerable. It's called understanding that you're not always there. Do you let the stress and difficulty of the circumstances force you to do the wrong thing, whether it's fear or anger or doubt? Watch those things. Are we willing to ask for help? Some of us won't ask for help, I don't care what. We're just not going to ask for help. Well, the Lord says, ask Him for help. Ask for help. Are you willing to ask for help? Help! If that's your heart this morning, just know that He cares, and that He is there, and that He knows what's going on, and that we can come to Him no matter. It may not feel like He's helping, it may not seem like He's there, it may not seem like He cares, but He is, and He is, and He is. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to count You as our help, the one who runs to our aid, And sometimes, Father, when we're going through those difficult times, we're praying and we're asking for help, but maybe we don't feel it, maybe we don't sense it, we don't see any results or what might be going on. Help us, Lord, to trust You. Help us, Lord, to continue to put You first. And as we face those situations that we feel distress, we feel anxious, that are hard, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to commit them to You. May You be glorified in the difficult situations in our lives. Pray especially for our students and teachers, whether homeschooled or public or private school, that You'd give much grace as they start a new year, new responsibilities, new expectations. Lord, that You would give much grace to everyone there. We pray, Father, that You would help us each one to know that You are the one that runs to our aid when we need help. You don't leave us alone. So, Father, help us to, as Your children, just be willing, just as we would, hopefully we'd be able to do this to our own mom or dad, to ask for help. Help us to know that You care and love us so much as our Heavenly Father. So, Father, we ask this morning for help. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, may I just ask you this morning, are you facing a difficult time? Are you feeling the pressure? Are you going through it? If that is you this morning, I ask that you look to Him. Look for His guidance. Look for His help. Ask others for help. Father, I pray that the things that You've spoken to us today about, that they would not be forgotten. And that You would help us, Lord, to claim more of Your word, more of Your goodness, and to trust You. May these trials, the difficulties not shake us. They may wear us out. May they not shake us. May they not make us doubt Your goodness, Your love and care. Pray that You would dismiss us now in Your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Lachlan to come and conclude our service with a closing hymn. If I can be of help today, this week, or any time, please let me know. But I am praying for you. I'd love to help you if I can.
All right, our final hymn for this morning's service is 318, I Need Thee Every Hour. We'll do all four, if that's all right, all four verses, the first two verses for this one then. I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee.
Amen.
God bless you all. That concludes this morning's service. I hope to see you over for some food and fellowship next door. God bless you all.